Good evening. Welcome to the live video chat. Cool sound works, that's good to know. So, what's this about? It's about nothing, one could say. There's no suggest. Sorry, I just read the question. Okay, what's this about? It's about nothing, one could say, which means there is no suggestion coming from my side about what to do, about how to live life, about a path or some important information about the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do regarding the goal of fulfillment or true happiness or full personal enlightenment or enlightenment and all that stuff. Because basically there just is no person. There is no person to consciously live life, and there is no person to be unenlightened or to become enlightened, and there is no person to be unfulfilled, and there is no person to become fulfilled. And the whole ideas about finding true happiness, finding absolute freedom, finding some of those absolutes, they all take place within a dream. And the dream would be that there is someone who is unfulfilled, that there is someone who is unenlightened, so to speak, and that this experience of unfulfillment and that this experience of unenlightenment can be replaced by an experience of fulfillment or can be replaced by an experience of enlightenment. Of course, this doesn't work, so to speak, because what is, what happens, what apparently happens is naturally whole and complete, but for no one. Which means no one is having an experience of fulfillment, no one is having an experience of being enlightened, and all that stuff. As there is no one separate, as there is no one lost, as there is no one there in the first place, there, of course, naturally is no one to do anything. That's why there can't be any suggestion about what to do, about how to live life, about the right and the wrong decisions regarding the goal of personal fulfillment. In that sense, I have no clue. I have no idea at all about what is. I have no idea about what to do. I have no idea about what to not do. Again, basically because there is no one. In that sense, this is it. There's nothing to get. There's nothing to gain from this. There's nothing to gain from anything, really. Basically, because everything is empty and whole and complete at the same time. So there is no additional gaining from anything. There is no additional realization to what happens. All there is what apparently happens. That's it. It's itself. What happens is absolutely itself, blindly itself. There is no real gaining in that, and there is no real losing in that. That's the good news. That's the good news. It's this. It's exactly this for no one. So, hello to anyone who said hello. I don't know, there's one question from David. Hello, Stefan. I don't know, it's for me because apparently I'm called Andreas. What do you think about Rasa energy transmitting? And I have no idea because I don't know what it is, so I don't think anything about it, basically. Sounds like some method to get a better experience. so I've no clue about him. I mean, what this message is apparently saying, so to speak, is that there is no experience in the first place. Pell writes, what does it mean that there is no experience in the first place? Well, it means that there is no experience in the first place. So, I can't really explain it because it's not logical, but what the person would regard as experience, namely an energetic setup of separation, isn't real. It does not exist. I can't explain why or how it is possible that it doesn't exist, but it's not, it doesn't have any reality at all. Me and life, me and the world, this experience, me and the world, me and thoughts, me and feelings, me and the others. Me and the computer, me and the room. That's not real. That's a separation that doesn't exist. That's what I mean with experience. Hello. In the story, one could say that's what we can regard as the dream, the experience to be something which is separate from everything else. And seen from that me, seen from that here now experience, I am real and everything else is separate, but it's also real. So that would be the setup of experience, which doesn't have any reality at all. And the whole idea of seeking, the whole idea of arriving anywhere, only takes part within that. Patrick writes, is there anything that does exist? No, not really. But no one knows that. There is no answer to that question, one could also say. Because the only thing which lives in the illusion of existence is the me. But it's an illusion, because there is no me. So nothing else has an experience of existence. on a, in a way, in a little bit a superficial way, one could say everything just is, but blindly. Nothing knows that it is, it just is, and isn't, so to speak. So there is no knowledge about existence, and there is no experience of existence. Patrick writes, who recognizes that it is an illusion? Well, to call it an illusion already is a bit superficial. Because, yes, you're right, an illusion still sounds as if it is something that's there. But basically, when I say that there is no me, it actually means that there also is no illusion. So there is no recognition of anything being anything specific, real, or an illusion. So, yes. And if we go in the story, one could say liberation would just be the end of the experience to be something or to be someone. And the end is the same when it turns out that it's not there in the first place. So it's not even really an end of something. And it definitely is not a recognition of something being an illusion. One could say it's an apparent recognition that there already is no one. But as I say, it's an apparent recognition, which no one has. Christine writes, hi Andreas, so it's only not existing just because of the illusion of me? So, no me, no other, I guess, Christine. Yes, one could say so. I mean, the only thing, so to speak, that lives in the experience of existing is the me. It's the only thing which says, I exist. I exist because I experience myself. I have an awareness about there being something. That would be the sense of existence. So, the moment I am something, everything else seems to become something too. And yes, so suddenly, if I'm only me, there is a room which is not me, and there is other people which are not me. Because I'm me and they are not me. But they are as real as I am. So this is the setup of duality or separation. It's not two actually, it's three, it's many. It's me and the room, the furniture, other people, thoughts, feelings. It's a world of many. So what we talk about is, which is kind of a miracle within the story, this or seen from the person, it sounds like a miracle. What seems to be happening is that sense of being someone turns out to be non-existing, which is already illogical. This is not logical already. So, in a superficial way, if we say when that illusion of me drops, what's there to make any statement at all which comes from observation? Me, I am, I experience it. You are because I observe you, because I experience you, I see you from my separate standpoint. I observe a room. I see the room, and because I recognize the room, I can observe it. It must be real. So this would be all within the dream. But on the other hand, when their dream drops, apparently, there is no self-recognition, there is no self-awareness, so to speak. There is no awareness of there being something at all, as the only additional reality. Vince writes, "Hi, it's so strange. How can there be the illusion of an illusion?" There is no answer to how can this be a room talking, a world. In the end, there is no answer because there isn't even a real experience about there being a room and thoughts and a world and that stuff. So, how can it be as it is? No answer. No answer. Rob writes, "Hi Andreas, why am I so hooked on this message? For no reason. That's what apparently happens. I don't know." Patrick writes, "Is there anything that the person can do?" No, not really, because there is no real person doing anything already. Someone could say doing is what apparently happens. Not doing, whatever that means, is what apparently happens. But there is no one doing anything in the first place. There is no separate entity ever, so to speak. It simply doesn't exist. In that sense, the person can't do anything. Lord writes, "But there still are preferences, even with no me." Oh, yes. But no one knows the preferences. They just are what apparently happens. No one lives in a story with them, so to speak. Like, the question goes on, like, there are others who one may not care to hang out with. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There doesn't have to be a story attached to it, right? Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yes, of course. I mean, one could even say there could be a story attached to it, but not a truth. That's for the person, stories are truths and not really stories. But yes, absolutely. That's just apparently life happening, hanging out with those people and not with those. Exactly. Christine writes, "So there is, for example, then pain without anything else, but pain is already a label, a name." So yes, one could say so. When all there is when there is pain, all there is pain, and all the rest, what seems to be going on. But for no one, yes. Yeah. And the idea of pain would just be a story and not a truth. It can't really be known what pain is. It's an apparent knowing and it's an apparent label of anything which doesn't exist separately from the rest, so to speak. The body having the pain, the thoughts about the pain, the surrounding where the body moves in. It's not separate. It's all there is, and it's not separate. You can't really separate anything out. Or on the other hand, or the other way around, the only thing which tries to separate stuff out is the me, which experiences itself as separate. which lives in the illusion of a separate reality. So nothing can be really cut out. Nothing can be really separate in thoughts from feelings, feelings from the body from the surrounding, the furniture from the floor, and all that stuff. Case writes, truths are just good stories. Yeah, the stories that are hoped for to be real. Exactly. Pell writes, can there be a sense of no separation that comes and goes? Well, I wouldn't, well, if you make up that picture, I would put it the other way around. It's the sense of separation that comes and goes. Because when there is no separation, so to speak, there is no sense of anything. It's not a sense of no separation. But what seems to be happening in the story is that me, so to speak, is coming and going. So it's rather the sense of separation which comes and goes, not really the sense of no separation. But in the story, that seems to be happening. Meing and being. But liberation or no separation is not a sense. It doesn't exist as such. It's not a circumstance that can be known and recognized and observed. So all those things, recognizing, to live in recognition, to live in a sense of something, all of that, so to speak, is illusory. David Two writes, hi Andreas, I noticed there's a flickering, a coming and going quickly of separation. Oh yeah. That can be, so to speak. That's what apparently happens. Yeah. For no one in the end. David Two writes, who sees the coming and going of identification? Oh yeah, there is no answer to that. One could say two things. On the one hand, it is what apparently happens. It's empty and full. It just is what apparently happens. However, as long as there is someone dancing around it or dancing within the coming and going, this me, so to speak, will attach itself to it and turn it again into a path. So it's not a real seeing of a real circumstance. It just is what apparently happens. Seeing of a coming and going of something. And David writes, okay, do you enjoy life more after your realization? Well, that can't be really said because there is no one left to enjoy life. So, in that sense, not really, no. David Two writes, is me delusion? Well, Not really. I wouldn't go that far because first, there is no me. And secondly, you or whoever experienced themselves as someone or thinking you are someone or thinking that they are someone just is what apparently happens. There isn't really anyone deluded. Same as in liberation, there is no one liberated. So, not really. It's too strong for me to call it delusion. I mean, it's not right or wrong to experience oneself as someone. It's just not real as such. There just is no real person. That's all. But as there is no real person, there is also no one deluded. I mean, that's the funny thing. Apparently, people running around stating, I am someone, is what apparently happens. It's wholly complete and empty at the same time. And people running around saying, I am someone and I'm missing something and I still have to become enlightened, is what apparently happens. No one will become enlightened, of course. There is no one in there who is unenlightened, of course. But that's what apparently happens. David Tu writes, it just is. Yeah, apparently. Exactly. Patrick writes, does life become easier when the final understanding happens? Okay, I have to, of course, I wouldn't call it final understanding because there is nothing to understand and all that stuff. And in a way, life becomes easier, or it turns out that life was easy right away. Life is, living is easy, so to speak. It's, or let's say it's simple. It's simple. In that sense, it becomes easier, of course. And of course, it's in a way living without these ideas of absolute happiness and enlightenment and how to gain those and about all those ideas about how to behave and that stuff. So in that sense, it seems to become easier and more simple, but for no one. And it's not really that it becomes more simple. It's rather turning out that it already is simple. That the complication was apparent. It's a dream. The person lives in a dreamt, complicated world. It's not complicated. David writes, when we don't exist, how can it be that we are feeling or perceive anything? Oh, yes, absolutely. There is no answer to that. Why is it as it is? One could say. Who could answer that? It's impossible. No one knows. Boris writes, good evening, Andreas. What do you think about the idea that especially traumatized people seek in spirituality and non-duality as a way out and not dealing with trauma appropriately, whatever that means? Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't have a special idea about it, but it definitely is what happens, or what apparently happens. But people can potentially seek in anything, and also, of course, traumatized people can seek in anything. And of course, the thing with spirituality and non-duality maybe is that there seems to be a promise, and it seems to promise a simple path, like becoming enlightened, for example, in spirituality, become enlightened, become happy in 5 minutes, and all those promises. Of course, that's attractive. That can be attractive for anyone. Okay, Pal writes, does the emptiness you are talking about have any connection with the emptiness people mention in connection with, say, depressive states or felt lack of meaning? Well, not really, because the emptiness they talk about, depressive people or lack of meaning, they actually refer to an experience. So they refer of their being a person having a real experience that everything is empty and boring and without meaning. So in that sense, there's no connection to that. But one could also say there is a connection, or it's the same thing. It's just the person getting glimpses of that, but then suffers from it. Because in a way, the person needs meaning, so to speak, and needs that this happens for something, or that there is something in it, meaning, sense, value. Things are valuable. So when that turns out to be an illusion, or when meaning, the story of meaning drops away, or the value, the person may become depressive or suffer from it. But it's an experience the person has then, which in that sense has nothing to do with liberation. Because even in that setup, me experiencing emptiness, there is something which is not empty, which is me experiencing. Yeah. Hey, there's Jenny. Hey. David writes, is everything predestined? Well, not really, because there is no real happening in time. So, not really. And of course, it's not predestined or destined in order to. Nothing has to be in a certain way for some reason. Everything just is as it is. Apparently, for no reason. For no real reason. Vince writes, could you say What apparently happens is it? Oh yeah, absolutely. One could say so. Yeah, that's all there is. So there's nothing else. But it's unrecognized, unrecognizably it. Nothing recognizes, oh, this is it. No, it just isn't it. It's not an it, but it just isn't. Sorry. Jenny writes, how is it known that there is no individual? Oh, it's not known at all. It's not known. Because knowing, one could say, belongs to the individual. The individual lives in observation, in observing and knowing. So it's never known. It's not known. One could say, in a very simplified way, when the individual drops, there just is no individual anymore. But it's not known. It's not known. Rob writes, is the me trauma itself? Oh, in a way, one could say it's the only trauma. All the rest is just what apparently happens. But the only thing that lives in separation is the me. In that sense, this is the only trauma. I am someone. The rest is just apparent functioning. Trauma in a biological sense is just fu apparent functioning. Patrick writes, if there is frustration because the seeking doesn't come to an end, what would you suggest? To accept that there is frustration? Oh, there is no suggestion. Because when there's frustration, there's frustrations. Frustration. That's it. That's wholeness. And the attempt to answer frustration again is an illusion. Me, which thinks that it needs to answer the frustration. No, it's impossible. You can't. That's the frustration. You can't do anything. There is no one to do anything, to accept, to not accept, to understand, to see, to recognize, to be aware of, to find the answer, to find truth, to find the key to life, and all that stuff. It doesn't work. It doesn't exist. It simply doesn't exist. Neither what the person regards as life, nor the person, nor a key to life, or an answer to how it is or what is. Maria too writes, the person needs hope, therefore it needs meaning, right? One could say so. I mean, one could say, although the person's happiness is dependent on home, the person is happy as long as it assumes that fulfillment will still come. When the person thinks I'm on the right track, I'm on the right path, the person is kind of happy. And of course, the assumption of meaning is already, it's already a method in a way. Things need meaning. Yeah. Hope is the seeker's food, so to speak. Apparently. Jenny writes, Rumi apparently said, when you stay in prison, well, why you stay in prison when the door is wide open? That's totally incorrect. The door is absolutely locked. Well, both statements are right in a way. But yes, there just is no one. Sorry. I mean, the dilemma is that the person, in a way, in the story, you could say the person itself is the prison. So the person will never be able to step out of prison. Yeah, true. Patrick writes, but the person is always looking for happiness. Is it wrong to look for happiness? Oh, no, it's not wrong. It just is what apparently happens when there is a sense of a person. But in the end, it's looking for something which doesn't exist. But that's not wrong either. I don't say that anything else in that sense is really possible, because when the sense of a person is what happens, or is what apparently happens, there's no one who can do anything about it. And of course, naturally, automatically, out of the sense of there being someone, some seeking comes, looking for happiness is coming, and hoping that when I find that happiness, this will end my seeking. Oh yeah, of course, it's inevitable. If that's what happens, if that's what apparently happens, it's inevitable. There's no other possibility. Carlton writes, who realizes that the me never exists at all? Well, no one realizes that. It's not really a realization. It's an apparent realization that there is no one. But the apparent realization that there is no one at the same time is the melting away of the energy to be separate, to be someone. But after that, or within that, there is no one who recognizes that. And after that, there is no one left who lives in a recognition or in a realization of something. Well, that's not logical. This can't be explained. Rob writes, so do you no longer seek happiness? Yeah, one could say so. I mean, happiness is a bit a superficial world, but yeah, there is no one seeking for fulfillment or for the end of seeking. Basically, because there is no seeking in the first place. I mean, that's the thing. The person is looking for an additional realization, for something deeper, for some finite something. And of course, that drops, so to speak, with the illusion that there is someone in the first place. That additional seeking completely evaporates, one could say, but for no one. What's left after that is very ordinary functioning. What's left after that is a very ordinary apparent functioning. And this may also include to go for happiness, but not in order to gain something from it. That's the thing. The person isn't really looking for happiness for no reason. It's looking for happiness because it hopes to gain something from it. It hopes to gain something from it, working on its big project, becoming enlightened, or becoming a fulfilled person, or and all that stuff. So when there is no one, there is no project going on. My life. The big project, my life. And I'm working on happiness. No, that drops. That evaporates. The seeker dies. There's nothing that's sought. Dave writes, what is your opinion about reincarnation? Is there an experience of reincarnation, even if it is illusory? No. But in a way, it's not only that reincarnation I don't know anything about, there also is no incarnation. There's nothing really there that can be reincarnated, because there is no carnation in the incarnation in the first place. Shane writes, there never was a seeker and nothing to be sought. Yes, only an illusion of seeking, an apparent mechanism that seems to generate a reality that exists for itself only. Oh, yes, absolutely. One could say so. Which isn't logical. That too just is what seems to be happening. Pell writes, can so-called negative feelings, such as anxiety and depression, be ways of protecting oneself against liberation or of responding to it in that way? I'm not sure if I really got the question. Well, negative feelings, in a way, just are what apparently happens. Are there ways of protect? Well, no, nothing can protect oneself from death. Well, seen from the mere liberation and death is the same thing. And in a way, one could say everything that the person believes to do is in order to protect itself from death. So, a bit like, as long as I'm active, I'm alive. So, but it doesn't really work because it's an illusory life in the first place. So, sorry, maybe I don't really get the question or responding to it in that way. Well, anxiety and depression, of course, are actually a response to life or about the assumption about what life is, if they are coming from a psychological thing, so to speak. Patrick writes, is there a meaning of life? No, there isn't. If not, why should I get up every morning? What is it for? Oh, it's for nothing. Not at all. You won't. It is what apparently happens, but not for anything. You won't gain anything from getting up, but you also won't gain anything from staying in bed. Both just are what happens, or not. Dave writes, what about love? So, why are there people loving each other when they don't exist? Oh, it's what apparently happens. You don't need the sense of separation to be in love. I mean, in a way you would need someone to live in a romantic story about the dream partner and stuff, but love is what apparently happens. Feelings are what apparently happens. Thoughts are what apparently happens. Bad weather is what apparently happens. Rooms is what apparently happens. Money is what apparently happens. Or not. Oh, yeah. There's no answer to why. Jenny writes, so there is no good or bad, right or wrong, sickness, death or health. That's just what seems to be apparently happening. Oh yeah, absolutely. No one knows that. No opposites, binary concepts, no, or just concepts on a conceptually. There is good and bad, apparently. No cause and effect. Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah. Right. But again, no one knows that. Marcus, hello. Vince writes, I always think there must be some kind of divine intelligence, evolution, or deeper meaning behind the seeking energy. It's still energy and very real, and it's there for a reason. Yes, but all those ideas, so to speak, on and those assumptions only happen for the person or for the seeking energy. So yeah, that the person or the seeking energy would assume that I am, that I exist, that I exist in a real existence, in a real reality, the world, the universe, whatever. And it is, and it deeply hopes and assumes that there's a reason for all of it, for all that is known and experienced, and that there's a reason for how it is. It, yeah, of course, the person does assume that, apparently. Carlton writes, doesn't the body demand you get up to the loo and body says I want food? Yeah, one could say it is it's blindly what apparently happens. But it has nothing to do with the impression that there is someone or something living in the body doing all of that. Oh yeah. In that sense, everything just happens by itself. Naturally, unknowably, blindly, of course. This message isn't saying you should stay in bed. I mean, who would be able to do so? Life is already happening by itself, apparently. Shane writes, does apparent Andreas ever apparently take psychedelics post-liberation? No, now. I did take some, but that's really a long time ago, meanwhile. Almost 20 years. Tea, coffee, alcohol sometimes. That's basically it. Shane writes, just curious. I've heard you mention beer can still happen. Well, in a way, anything can still happen, apparently. Dave writes, is schizophrenia related to liberation? No, not that I know. In the end, nothing is really related to liberation. Because liberation isn't really something that exists. Pell writes, what is meant by death and liberation? Well, one could say apparently the illusion is that there is something alive. Or one could say the basic experience of separation is I'm something which is now here as an experienced presence or as an assumed experience of awareness or something. So the end of seen from that which experiences itself to be alive, to be now here and aware as a center which looks out there. So the end of that seen from them is just death. But the same thing is liberation, so to speak. The end of the assumption that there is something there which is autonomously and separately alive. It looks like death, the end of me, so to speak. But I mean, in the end, there is no such thing as liberation and death, because it turns out that this separate autonomous life doesn't exist in the first place. Which, on the other hand, means it turns out that bondage and not liberation turns out to be illusory in the first place. So, life and death, bondage and liberation, they both don't exist as such. Both are stories within the personal experience, life and death. Maria too writes, suicide is understandable though, as apparent living is suffering. Yeah, one could say so, but, well, yeah. But in the end, there is no one who can choose to do or to not do it. And on the other hand, it's apparent suffering. It's an illusion of suffering. There's no one really suffering, of course. But yeah, seen from the person, it can look like that. I mean, that's the person's, that's the person's dilemma in a way, to only be able to be separate and to only be able to be a person and to be separate. But fortunately, it's not real. There is no separate person and there is no real suffering from separation. Jenny writes, what about family? No one has a family? Oh, yeah, absolutely, yes. My children aren't really my children? Oh, yes, of course. There is no you to have them. In a way, Jenny is what apparently happens, and the children are what apparently happens, and all of them. Rob writes, so a thought that happens is no different than a tree growing or a car driving. Oh, yes, exactly. All of them, so to speak, just are what apparently happens for no one. Patrick writes, so you say that it's no difference if a person suffers or a person is happy? Oh yeah, of course, there is no real difference. It's not the same, but it's not really different, yes. Both is what apparently happens. Travis writes, anyone here? No. No. Carlton writes, whatever you do, whatever you think is moving away from what is. Well, also not really, of course, because whatever you think or whatever you do is what is, so to speak, is what apparently happens. So nothing is really be able to move away from what is. But what seems to be happening, of course, is when there is the sense of a person, that person believes itself to live in a reality which doesn't exist as such, a personal reality, where I am someone who has a life, who can consciously act and do the right thing in order to gain an additional realization. But in a way, even that's not really moving away from what is, because if that's what happens, that's what is too. Jenny writes, what about the laws of nature? They are what apparently happens. Gravity, etc. Is there such thing as law of attraction in the dream? Are all the apparent laws only in the dream? Oh yeah, of course. Yes. Well, seen from the person, the laws are assumed to be real. Because the person believes itself to be real and to live in a real reality, in a real world, in a real separate world, which functions, which exists, which is made out of many, many parts, which function, which interact and function, and assumes there to be real laws. Travis writes, does anything matter? No, not at all. Nothing matters. There is no one to whom things could matter. Vince writes, but wouldn't the Earth move in space without any person? Oh, yeah, one could say so, or that's the assumption. But of course, in a way, to process the idea of there being an Earth which moves in space would only be able from a person's view, so in the end, no one knows. But yeah, what apparently happens, so to speak, isn't dependent on any person at all. The me isn't needed, so to speak. Me isn't doing anything. Shane writes, would you say there is a bittersweetness to nothing matters, or is that too much? I don't know. Probably the, I don't know. I mean, that's too much, I guess. Probably I know what you mean, but to me it's more explosive than just bittersweetness, but it's basically too much because nothing matters. Jenny writes, so pollution, environmental disasters, toxic waste, all these apparent problems aren't real? Well, yes, because they are apparent problems and unreal problems. There's no one there to know them. There is no one there to be conscious of them. The earth and the apparent universe, only an appearance and therefore not real. Yes, one could say so. The earth and the universe are what apparently happens. They aren't even an appearance, but they aren't real. Yes, or the only thing which assumes them to be real is the person. Nothing else knows anything about there being a world and an earth and a universe and pollution and environmental disasters. I mean, the person, one could say, lives in consciousness. It lives in a dream to be aware, to be self-aware, and to be conscious of. So, seen from the person, all those are things which I can be conscious of. Pollution, disasters, toxic waste, the earth, the universe in general, my existence. These are all, seen from the person, these are all things which I can know. And I can know them because I'm conscious of them, or I've heard of them, and I understand them. But without there being someone in the first place, who would know anything about pollution or disasters or toxic wastes or an earth or an existence? Rob writes, did anyone notice when you died? What apparent differences were there? Well, someone believed to notice something, but what apparent differences were there? Not many, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. Not much. Maybe none at all. Somehow there was just no one there seeking anymore. Whatever that means. Travis writes, I ask because I seem to use nothing matters as a way to spiritual bypass, but then I go back to, well, that doesn't matter. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's both. I mean, the person might try to use this as an answer to everything, because the person is looking for an answer. But in order to use that sentence, nothing matters, there must have been something mattering in the first place, at least for a moment. But yeah, nothing matters. Absolutely, 100%ly. Jenny writes, yes, I suppose an animal wouldn't be concerned about pollution. Oh, yes, absolutely. It would just apparently suffer from having no water or from not finding food and wandering around in rubbish, but there would be no one experiencing it, and there would be no one really concerned about an issue, pollution, where someone is conscious of. Yeah, absolutely. Well, there is no real spiritual bypass. But of course, the person loves simple truths. But there isn't a real spiritual bypass because there is no path in the first place. There is no long, hard path, and there is no short or direct path. There just is no one there on a path in the first place. In that sense, you can't do it right or wrong. But yeah, as long as there's the sense of a person, apparently, there will be some seeking going on and some trying to make it, whatever that means. To make it on a short path, to make it on a long path. But yeah, it doesn't matter. There is no life. Maria too writes, we only project suffering onto animals. Oh no, animals apparently suffer, but we project a sufferer in the animals, as if there is someone suffering, as we, one could say, or humans seem to project a sufferer within themselves. But suffering is what apparently happens, meaning pain and feelings and all of that stuff. I mean, feelings and suffering, it's just. But yeah, there is no sufferer. Travis writes, do you believe in gradual awakening? Not really, no. I seem to be free and then caught in ego mind back and forth. Is this normal? Yes. Well, normal or not doesn't really matter, but yes, I know a lot of people who are kind of in a coming and going thing. Yes. Well, there seem to be holes in the experience to be separate. Yeah, that can happen. It's an apparent coming and going. But it, as I said, it's what apparently happens. Sylvia writes, hello again. Hello. What good questions are coming up? Great. Yeah. Your answers always point to the essential. Forget the I, leave the I, there is no I. And definitely the I never grasp anything. But the I would have the chance to recognize the no substance, no thing, no me. Could embrace the world in that mood. That's sweet. Well, basically, the I doesn't have any chance because there is no I. Yeah. And yes, the answers are as good as, are only as good as the questions are. So, no one's asking, no one's answering. Yeah. Yes, there is no one. It's freedom. Everything is just free to be itself already. It's not something that has to be gained or recognized or seen or any of that. Jenny writes, there is no I, me, you, them, any pronouns. It's crazy. Oh well, yes, there is no one. There just is no one. Travis writes, have you seen that seeking energy fall away for people that stop seeking, or is it pointless to even try? Oh, yes, exactly. It's pointless to even try because there aren't people, or the me in that sense, can't stop seeking. That's the thing. The falling away of the seeking energy is the stopping of seeking, or that's when the seeking stops. And in that sense, I don't know people who stop seeking in that sense. Because as long as there is someone, there is some subtle waiting, some processing of a real world in a way going on. So the person who wants to stop seeking is the dream. It would be another way to find enlightenment, is to stop seeking or something. But what can apparently happen is that just the seeking drive or the seeking energy loses momentum. That's dying, so to speak. That's when apparently dying is happening for no one. No one dies in the end. Jenny writes, Jim Newman says the seeker, or the knower, the person. Yeah. So if there's a person, the person has no choice but to seek. So to speak, yeah, one could say so, yeah. It's all the same. The seeker, the knower, the person, living in awareness, living in self-awareness, living in separation, trying to become one, become whole. Yes, in that sense, it's also not wrong. The person might think it's wrong to seek. Yes and no. I mean, it's not wrong, but it's not that there's another choice exactly. I mean, the person doesn't have another choice than being the person, so to speak. That's what I mean. It's not liberation, is not recognizing that me is an illusion and then being able to leave it or something. No, it's in a way just the melting away of the separate energy, but there is no recognition, there is no intelligence needed, there is no knowledge, there is no unraveling as a process and all of that needed. So, it's not anyone's choice either. Pal writes, it's difficult to understand when you say that what you're saying is not logical. Could you say what is meant by it being not logical? Well, the thing is, what's not logical, kind of, how is it possible that so many people state that they are someone, but there isn't anyone? That's not logical. Or when I say that liberation is the death of something which wasn't there in the first place, that's not logical. This can't be explained. This whole message isn't logical. Sitting in a room isn't logical. Being you, being me, is not logical. It is what apparently happened, but it's not logical. Except you invent a huge story trying to explain it. But it's not logical. How is it that a lot of people state, I am someone, I can feel it, but exactly that doesn't have any reality at all? Can't be explained. It's not logical. Travis writes, no higher power. Oh, yes, there is no higher power or lower power or any power at all. Is this just energy thinking we are individuals? Well, yes, it's the unknown. It's unknown. It's the unknown thinking I am. It's unknowable. How it is, what it is, why it is, if it is, it's unknowable. Nothing can be known. Nothing is known. Sitting in a room watching the screen is not known. It just is itself, but it's not known. Can't be known. It can't even be known if there's a screen or not. Shane writes, it's kind of like all the questions are the same, and all of your answers are, there is no real question, no question. Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yes, that's what apparently happens. Sitting in front of a screen, question, answers for no one. It's how it can play and alive and empty and meaningless and free and wild for no one. No one knows that. No one experiences that. No one arrives within that. Maria too writes, Tony calls it a pretense. People pretend to be real, like a big fat lie, or the greatest joke in town. Yes, absolutely. The dilemma just is that no one's doing it. Jenny writes, I find the message comforting in a way. I can't help but listen to it. Oh yeah, that's gorgeous. Yes. It points to sitting in front of a screen. It points to thinking, feeling. It points to you being all there is, but not someone. It points to sitting in a room. It points to this being all there is. And being whole and complete, blindly whole and blindly complete already. Christine writes, thanks a lot, Andreas. It's good listening to you. Seems that you are very relaxed the last times. Cool. Great. Yeah, I feel good recently. And Shane writes, brilliant. Thanks. Okay. Okay. One last question. Patrick writes, are you happy? No, I don't know. I have no idea. There's no one there to know. Am I happy? Am I unhappy? Am I? There is no answer. No idea. Christine writes, better. It's the best. Oh. Lovely. Vince writes, did you apparently die in meditation? No. I apparently died for no reason. There was no one alive in the first place. Okay, and Jenny writes, thank you. All the way from the other side of the apparent world. Oh, thank you very much. Lovely that you joined. And Travis writes, the whole no free will thing really confuses me. If I decide to raise my hand right now, Who is doing that? Oh, no one's doing that. It just is what apparently happens. There is no one choosing that you decide to raise your hand. It's just happening by itself. Okay, in that sense, that's it. There's nothing to get, there's nothing to gain, or nothing to lose. All there is what apparently happens, and it's naturally whole, and it's naturally complete, and wild and free. There is no one arriving in that. There is no one able to escape from it. There is no one able to leave wholeness. All there is wholeness, and it's exactly this. Thinking, feeling, sitting in front of a screen, a room, furniture, this. It's exactly this. There is nothing else. Okay, thank you very much. Have a lovely evening. Have a lovely day, wherever you are, whatever you do. Thank you very much. Lovely that you joined. And thank you all. Thank you. Bye. Thanks to all in the chat. Thank you. 'Kay, bye, goodbye.